Good morning. Good morning. We want to thank you for joining us here at A Heart for the People Christian Ministry. My name is Reverend Lee West, and I'm your host here at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. I know some of you may have seen me come on, but what we're doing is a second episode because next week the station will be closed. So we're doing two episodes now, one for this weekend and one for next weekend. But as we begin to get started, I want to once again thank David Therizelvam, who is the founder of Victim Recovery Law Center. He is our lawyer, so to speak, for POMC, and he's helping families who have lost loved ones to the senseless violence out here. If you want to reach David, you can reach him at 484-919-0794, 215-546-1433. You can reach him at david@victimrecoverylaw.com, or you can reach him at victimrecoverylaw.com. His address is 121 South Broad Street, 18th floor, Philadelphia, PA 19107. He also has an office at 18 Campus Boulevard, Suite 100, Newtown Square, PA 19073. Once again, we want to thank you for joining us here today, and we hope that all is well. Today I want to talk about motivations for encouragement. Motivations for encouragement. In the book of Hebrews, the author was writing to discourage Christians who wanted to give up because life had become both rough and tough. They were going through negative experiences that had caused their get up and go to get up and go. Lacking in motivation to continue in the Christian faith, they wanted to give up on God and all the blessings that he could bestow on them. Unfortunately, we see this today. We see a lot of people who have lost their hope, who have decided that this is no longer what I want to do. Nothing is going my way. I can't take it anymore. And they go about their separate ways. But if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, we discover the foundation and commendation for encouraging one another. Therefore, brethren, this is verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking for our own assembling together, as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the verse begins with the critical word, therefore. So I learned earlier in life and in my spiritual training and walk that whenever you see the word therefore, you need to ask, what is therefore? Often the reason comes before the word, yet in the passage, reason comes immediately after the word. The writer of Hebrews tells us, we have confidence to enter in the holy place of the blood of Jesus. We have a new and living way to approach God. We have a great priest over the house of God, Jesus Christ. The encouragement is a method we use to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. As the Bible says, we aren't to grow weary in doing good because in due time we'll reap. One way to avoid growing weary is to receive encouragement. Now, once again, here we were talking. It's important that we encourage one another. One way to avoid growing weary is to receive encouragement. Have you ever grown weary in doing good, and what was the result? And these are just questions that you can ask yourself. You know, I was just tired of doing good. I was just, you know, and what was the result in me doing good? What came out of it? Do you think anyone you know is growing weary in doing good? In what practical way could you offer encouragement? What could you do to build that person up? What could you do to help that person feel good about what they're doing and look at the benefits of what they're doing? The fact that I'm not only excited about helping others, but I'm putting a smile on that person's face. I'm putting a smile on that child's face. That person has a new burst of energy because I simply sat and talked with them. I simply sat and prayed with them. I simply sat and said to them, you are somebody. These are things that we have to look at and say, wow, I'm doing these things and I'm helping others. And guess what? While I'm helping others, I'm feeling pretty good myself. Encouraging one another ought to be paramount in the household of God. I'm going to say that again. Encouraging one another ought to be paramount in the house of God. The vital encouragement we need from the Lord is also what we need to give one another. It's important. He's telling you in these words that it's important. Vital means it's important. Vital encouragement we need from the Lord is also what we need to give one another. God works and moves through his people to provide the vertical encouragement we need from him. Have you ever been in a bad spot or on a particular day or in a situation and you needed that that encouragement, you needed that push, and only to have someone text you or say a kind word that it's exactly what you needed to hear? That's, you know, I'm going through, I got a text from somebody. I can make it through this. That the words that they shared with me has given me that push that I need. That person didn't know what you were going through or needed to hear, but God knew. And I've sent messages, and you know, this is funny that I'm looking at what's here, and I remember sending messages, and the response that I get back is, man, I really needed to hear that. That was right on time. Thank you. And I'm saying, it's not me. It's just a message that I picked, but God gave it to me. I didn't pick it. God gave it to me. And it's for you. So I don't take credit for what God is doing. This is God's work. The person didn't know what you were going through or needed to hear, but God knew. And his Spirit guided them to encourage you. If you read Ephesians 4 and 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear it. God wants us to bless each other. God wants us to be there for each other. God wants us to encourage each other. And he's giving you everything you need. As the word says, the person did not know what you were going through or what you needed to hear, but God knew and used that person to encourage you, to send you that word that might help you through, to send you that prayer that might help you through. Just in your mind, think of an example of edifying talk that should come from our mouths. Just think, what can I say on a positive note to help somebody get through? Somebody might be going through COVID. Somebody might be going through grief, trauma. But what is it that I can say? Lord, give me something to encourage this person. Give me something that I can say to help bring them through. Nothing encourages me more as a man, as a person in the church, out of the church, than when people write or call me to tell how someone in the church or in their house, their family, has lifted them out and lifted them up, the hole that they were in. They were, I absolutely love seeing others get the encouragement they need. It brightens my day, especially when God says, I need you to go talk to that person. I'm like, talk to who? He has a purpose and timing for everything. He will let you know there's somebody that needs, you know, and I've said this before. I got on the bus. I used to carry my Bible with me. Guy looked at me. He said, excuse me, sir, is that a Bible? I said, yes, it is. He said, I need you to find me a scripture because I'm feeling like I want to commit suicide. God used me to encourage him. And even if it was, I trust the Lord. Do I know what he did when he got off the bus? I have no idea. I never saw him again. And if I did see him, I wouldn't know him if I saw him anyway. But for that particular moment, God used me to encourage him. For any particular moment, any given time, you can be in a restaurant, you can be in a hospital, you can be in the mall shopping. I don't care where you're at. God can use you. And it's always when you least expect it. So never pull back when the Lord places in your heart to provide an encouraging note, a text, a letter, a call, a card, or a meal. He can use that to lift someone up when they're discouraged. And here's what you need to understand, that when you pass up the opportunity to bless someone, you're passing up your blessing. So it's important that we take the opportunity that is presented to us to go out and meet with others, to talk with others about the goodness of God. I tell people all the time, yes, I had COVID. Yes, the doctor said I have 3 to 5 years to live. Yes, I gave it to God and I trusted him. Yes, he has delivered me. They said, you're not going to preach. You're not going to sing. You're not going to be able to talk like you used to. You're not going to do the things you used to do. And my simple word is, you hold on to that because God didn't tell me that. And here I am today doing exactly what they said I would not be able to do. For those of you who don't, excuse me, don't know or don't understand, COVID, pneumonia, and asthma messed up my lungs. So it gave me what they call pulmonary fibrosis. Pulmonary fibrosis is a hardening of the lung walls, which means your lungs cannot expand as much as they used to, and they can't hold as much as they used to. And the doctors told me straight up that there is no cure, not unless you want both lungs replaced. And once again, my wife prayed. She said, well, that ain't going to happen. So we trusted God. But people around me in the church, my family, prayed for me. They let me know that God has this situation under control. You continue to do what God has asked you to do and watch him work. And that's exactly what he did. So let's move on. God has designed his family to function through mutual consideration and encouragement. Encouragement is one of the most powerful things we can do for one another. We're in this together. We all need someone to prod us out of discouragement when we get weary in doing the good work of the kingdom. We all get weary. We all get tired. We all feel frustrated. We all sometimes feel rejected. We all feel like, what's the point? But God is telling you right here, God has designed his family to function through mutual considerations and encouragement. Encouragement is one of the most powerful things we can do for one another. Have you ever been in a classroom and you see a 4, 5, 6-year-old and they're just frustrated? They're trying to do the work, trying to do it, a puzzle, or trying to do something, and they're just agitated and just frustrated with it. But here comes the teacher, and the teacher sits down next to them and begins to ask them, what's going on? What's the problem? What's wrong? And then the child says, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And you say, calm down. Relax. Let's take our time. I'm going to work with you to help you get through this. This is how we should be with one another. Just as the teacher took the time to help that child who lost all hope and says, I can't do it. I can't finish it. This is how we should be helping others. I can't walk this Christian walk. I can't live this Christian life. I can't do this. I'm too, whatever the case may be. And we come up alongside. I'm your brother. I'm your sister. I'm here for you. What's the problem? Let's pray about it. Let's talk about it. Let's work it out together. I'll help you get through. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Encouragement is one of the most powerful things we can do for one another. Stop looking at all the negative. Stop putting people down and begin to say, you know what? I'm here for you. I know you can make it. I know you can do it. Instead of looking at, you ain't never going to amount to nothing. You ain't nobody. That person, once again, had no idea what you were going through. He had no idea, or she had no idea, what you were dealing with. But you can look at a person and say, something's not right. You don't have to know what they're dealing with or going through. Simply say, hey, can I pray for you? And they're going to say yes or no. And even if they say no, we say, okay, well, God bless. But the minute they turn to walk away, or the minute you turn to walk away, you can immediately begin praying. They may not know you're praying for them, and that's okay. But go ahead and pray. Allow God to use you even though they are not in your midst. It takes nothing to call somebody's name. Lord, remember that person. Or remember John I met earlier. The guy that told me on the bus that he wanted to commit suicide, I didn't know whose name. But I called him out to God and I said, listen, I need you to help this person. He's talking about he wants to commit suicide. He's reaching out because he asked me to read him a scripture. So he's looking for help. So I can be there to help him and not have to worry about any kind of repercussions, even though he turned and walked away and said, no, I don't want you to pray for me. There has been many people in our group, parents of murdered children, who have said, don't talk to me about God. Don't talk to me about prayer. Don't talk to me about none of that. I'm grieving right now. I'm hurting. I understand. And I can appreciate that. But guess what? They don't have to know that I'm lifting them up, that I'm praying for them, that I'm talking to God about them, about their situation, because I want him to help them get through. When my daughter was murdered, somebody had to pray for me. Somebody had to take the time to speak with me. And even though I may have been hurting, I may have, didn't want to hear nothing from nobody or what have you, the bottom line, somebody said, you know what, I'm going to pray for him anyway. This man just lost his daughter. His family just lost their daughter. And I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to be there for him. I'm going to show him kindness. I'm going to show him how he should be treated as a human being and as a man of God. And this is what builds me up, me personally, Reverend West. This is what builds me up. People have asked me all the time, everything that you have been through, how can you smile and help others who have lost their loved ones to the violence out here? How can you be such an encouragement? Because somebody had to be there for me. When my daughter was murdered, I didn't go to counseling. You know what my counseling is? My counseling is helping others. My counseling is being there when somebody's down, when somebody's depressed, when somebody needs just that pick-me-up, that kind word, that good morning. That's my counseling. When I was at the school district and I lost my daughter, I lost a daughter, but I gained many daughters. I gained many sons. Because of how I treated them. Just because you have a blue shirt and a badge and handcuffs doesn't mean you have to treat people mean. And sometimes they may deserve it, but you have to come from a different place. So when you're going through this life, don't treat other people in a way just because you were treated a certain way that may have been wrong. God didn't give me that. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Am I the best thing to slice bread? Absolutely not. But I love life. I love the Lord. And I love people. There's enough hard times. There's enough issues. There's enough violence. There's enough hatred. There's enough disorder, craziness in this world without me adding to it. I have more days behind me than I do ahead of me. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm 60. But every day I want to know that I've helped someone, that I've encouraged someone, that I've built somebody up, not tearing somebody down, not making somebody feel bad or feeling like, you know, they're worthless. I know where I came from, and I know the mistakes that I have made. And if I can just take 5 minutes and help somebody along the way, if I can take 5 minutes and just bring somebody through whatever they're dealing with, there is so much hurt out here in this world. There's so much pain, and we are all so wrapped up in self. We're all so wrapped up in what can I do to make things better simply for me. And there's nothing wrong with setting goals for yourself, but don't forget the person next to you. And it could be a family member. Could be your children. It could be somebody in the church. Take notice around you into what's going on. People today are scared to walk out in the street. People today are scared to leave their house. I got on the elevator today to come do the show, and I could see that there was a woman in the elevator, and she was like all up in the corner. Of course, I'm, 6'3", and got some weight, but that's just an example. And I said to her, I said, good morning. I had a smile on my face, and she said, good morning. And I said, happy holidays to you. And she said, happy holidays to you as well. Sometimes you have to take that step forward to put things at ease, to let people know that everybody's not all bad. We need to come together in unity. We need to come together in love. Yes, people have been hurt. Yes, people have gone through some things with others that they did not want to go through or they should have had to go through. But unfortunately, that's part of life. The Lord never said, you accept me, life is going to be a bowl of cherries. It doesn't work that way. You have to go through some things to get where he wants you to be. Not where you want to be, but where he wants you to be. Looking at my life in the past and looking at where I'm at now, I never thought I would be doing a radio show. I never thought I'd be standing in a pulpit delivering a message. I also never thought that I would lose a daughter. I also never thought that there would things be happening with my son or my family because of losing my daughter. But it did. But that's when we had to band together. That's when we had to encourage each other. My daughter was 19 years old, and her life was taken. And I have to live with that for the rest of my life. But guess what? God has equipped me on how to share with others on how to get through that. Will it ever end? No. Grief is relentless. But my counseling is when I can meet with the other mothers, fathers who have lost loved ones. I meet with them and encourage them to make it through. Holidays are coming up. That's the hardest time. That's the hardest thing to get through when you have lost a child, when you have lost a loved one. They're not sitting at the table with you. They're not sitting by the Christmas tree with you. They're not stopping by for dinner. They're not calling you to say, hey, Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving. But guess what? God has equipped me to give that encouraging word, to say you can make it through. Take the time to show love to someone. Take the time to encourage someone. I promise you, the blessings will be great. You may not think you're receiving what you should receive, but God has something for you. Put a smile on your face. A simple good morning, a simple hello. So I want to wish you all a good day. I thank you for joining me today. And I just ask that you continue to trust and love God. I love you, but God loves you best. Take care. God bless.